We'll begin. I don't think we have to go to Genesis, but we all know about meteor, meteorial trait that Abraham did.
The what?
Yeah, he mediated. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's, I don't know if you would say.
Meteorial?
Meteorial or whatever, but he mediated for a Lot and his family. Remember that? And he got down to 10. If there's 10 righteous people in Sodom. Should, and then Yahweh is saying, if there's 10 righteous people, I will not destroy it. Mm-hmm. And so that's an example. And we're going to go to another one in Genesis 20, verse 1.
Genesis 20.
I'm just backing him up.
Which is so sad, even in that case. How many righteous were there in Sodom?
No.
One.
One.
No.
Maybe.
Three.
Three, yeah.
Yeah, the daughter and Lot.
Two daughters were.
Genesis 10.
No, chapter 20, Genesis 20, verse 1 through 7. And Abraham brake out from thence towards the land of the south and fixed his dwelling between Kadesh and Shur. So he journeyed in Gerard. And Abraham said unto Sarah, his wife, my sister is she. So Abimelech, king of Gerard, sent and took Sarah. So she really must have been a looker. I mean, she's close to...
She's 60.
Well, not even now. This is later on. This is after Sodom and everything else, so this is close to probably 80s.
Yeah, her name's already changed.
Yeah, 85. Yeah, something. And then verse 3, then Elohim went in unto Abimelech in a dream of the night, I love this, and said to him, behold thee dead. Get your attention.
Yeah, you're not going to go back to sleep that night.
Yeah, I'm not. Behold thee dead. Because of the woman whom thou hast taken, seeing that she is a married woman. Now Abimelech had not come near unto her, so he said, O my Lord, a nation, even a righteous one, wilt thou slay? Had not he himself said to me, my sister is she? And even she herself said, my brother is he? In the integrity of my heart and the perch and the pureness of my hand have I done this. And Elohim said unto him in a dream, I also knew that in the integrity of thy heart thou didst this. So then even I myself withheld thee from sinning against me. For this reason have I not suffered thee to touch her. Now therefore restore the man's wife, for a prophet is he, that he may pray for thee and live thou. But if thou art not going to restore her, know that thou shalt die, thou and all that are thine. And did Abraham pay for her? And we see in verse 17. And Melandri 17 and 18.
And Abraham prayed unto Yahweh, and Yahweh...
No, to Elohim.
To Elohim, and Elohim healed Abimelech and his wife and his maid servants so that they bear children. For Yahweh hath restrained from bearing every female of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, the wife of Abraham.
So he, as a mediator, prayed to Yahweh for Abimelech. Mm-hmm. And so a mediator is stands between two. Now we go to Numbers, chapter 12. Here's
John,
Moses.
John G. Wayne notes that that was the first healing in the Word.
Okay, a good point.
The first what?
Healing.
Okay, Numbers what?
12. And we'll read one, kind of get the context. And Miriam and Aharon spake against Moses on account of the Cushite woman whom he had taken. For a Cushite woman had he taken. They said, is it only and solely with Moses that Yahweh has spoken? With us also hath he not spoken, and Yahweh heard it. Here's a really good explanation, thing to learn, or lessons, is these people are two important people. There's three prophets in Israel right now, and there's two of them right there. These are prophets that Yahweh anointed. They're in their 80s, or, older than 80 years old. And so, remember, Yahweh against the haughty arrayeth himself. Whereas unto the lowly he giveth favor. Be made lowly, therefore, in the strong hand of Yahweh, that he may lift thee up in due time. Now we go to verse 8. Mouth to mouth do I speak with him, and plainly not in dark sayings. And the form of Yahweh does he discern. And other people will say, the scriptures come by the Holy Spirit. No, scriptures came by the mouth of Yahweh. And that is figurative by the Holy Spirit, but here it said right here, mouth to mouth do I speak to him. How did we get these books? Mouth to mouth, he spoke to him. We've gone so much into the New Testament that we've lost all the truths. Yeah. And plainly not in dark sayings, in the form of Yahweh doth he discern. Wherefore then were you not afraid to speak against my servant, against Moses? And there was a good illustration. I saw a movie yesterday, and here is, I forget, it's a comedy, and they're in a bingo parlor, and they're playing bingo, and there's an old lady next to this guy, Belushi's brother. What's his name?
John Belushi.
Jim Belushi. And that comedy show he's in. And they're doing bingo, and this old lady's fell asleep on his arm, and she tried to wake him up, and he couldn't wake him up.
Her?
Yeah, her. And so he started marking her bingo card for her as he gave out the numbers. And then all of a sudden he realized she just won something very big. And so he's looking around like this, and then switches the papers, and then she's head right here and put her head on the table and said, bingo! And so he went to go collect his price to the priest. And so this was in a church bingo party. And it was some big item, and the whole thing was filmed. And so the priest showed him.
Oh, no.
And I thought, that's Yahweh. You know, we think we can do things in secret. And that's what Aharon and Miriam are thinking, too. And it's all videoed. And all of a sudden, when Jim's like, I'm here, he said, well, tell me about this. And all of a sudden, the whole thing he did, and you're like, oh. And so that good lesson on.
I was always watching. Like, oh, my gosh.
So I don't think he'd get away with it. Okay, I digress. And verse 9. And the anger of Yahweh kindled upon them, and he departed. And when the cloud removed from off the tent, lo, Miriam, leprous like snow. And why was leprosy put upon them? Is because now you cannot come into the tabernacle.
You're
actually an outcast from the
order. It's like losing your stripes.
And Aharon turned unto Miriam, and lo, leprous. And then said Aharon unto Moses, O my Lord, do not I beseech thee lay upon us sins. Although he went right to the mediator. Mm-hmm. He went to Moses, not to Yahweh. And he knows his place. Although we have not made ourselves foolish, and although we have sinned. Let her not, I beseech you, remain like the stillborn, which when it is born of the mother, the half of the flesh is consumed. And Moses made outcry unto Yahweh, saying, O El, I beseech thee, grant healing, I beseech thee, unto her. And Yahweh said unto Moses, if her own father had but spat in her face, would she not have acknowledged the same for 7 days? Let her shut herself up for 7 days outside the camp, and afterwards let her be received back. So Moses interceded and supplicated as a mediator between Miriam, Aaron, Aharon, and Yahweh. Now we go to chapter 16. And
maybe it's Aaron's part. I don't know.
Hashtag me too.
Verse 1 and 3. And we know about the conspiracy against by Korah. So we'll just do a little beginning on this, that we've all known about this. Then took Korah, son of Izhar, son of Korah, son of Levi, and Dathan, and Abiram, son of Eliab, and On, son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, and rose up before Moses with certain men of the sons of Israel, 250 princes of assemblies. Princes mean very important people, leaders. Call to the state meeting men of renown. That's what it tells you right now. So it tells us also, I don't care what your position is. If you're very, very important into the religious sector, which these guys thought they were, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. And can a prophet go against Yahweh? Absolutely. Yeah, Miriam and Aharon were doing that. So don't tell me, follow the man of God, regardless when he goes against the scriptures. and gathered himself against Moses and against Aharon and said unto them, too much for you, and all the assembly are all of them holy, and in the midst of them is Yahweh. Wherefore then should you set yourself up above the convocation of Yahweh? So here's, it's always rebellion. So you see this.
Who do you think you are?
Well, but yeah, you see where the mediator comes in. Somebody's fighting Yahweh, or I guess it is will, one way or another. Now we go to, we know that story, we go to 21, verse 21. Let's see here.
It's on the same page.
Yeah,
okay.
I thought you said chapter 21, verse 21.
Oh, yeah. Separate yourself out of the midst of the assembly. Oh, yeah. So here's another example, too. Yeah, I mean, Moses as mediator. Moses, or Yahweh says, let's just wipe them all out. Moses, separate yourself out of the midst of the assembly that I may consume them in a moment. And they fell upon their face and said, O El, the Elohim, the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin, and against all the assembly wilt thou be wroth? So here in Moses being mediating between Israel and Yahweh. Now, verse 35. We know fire also came down from Yahweh and consumed the 250 men who offered the incense. And we're going to see a real good connection on fire. It's either you're pleasing Yahweh when he lights the altar, or you're displeasing him and you're roasted. And that's Sodom and Gomorrah. That is Haran's son. Remember Elijah when he's on the mountain, the 50 men that came up, and fire came down in heaven twice. Amen. So it's over and over and over again, the fire of Yahweh. Very simply, and we didn't misunderstand it. Now we go into verse 41.
Okay, what chapter are you in?
Same chapter, 16.
Okay.
41. And now we're going into the rest of the people. Korath and them,
250.
The earth swallowed them up. But here's a good illustration about Sheol. Not about the teaching, but let's just go back to, let me see here, 20 or 30. Remember that about they get swallowed up. For if a creation Yahweh create, and the ground open wide her mouth, and swallow them up with all that pertain unto them, and so they go down alive unto Sheol. So remember, Sheol is down. Mm-hmm. Usually death and Sheol are
hand in hand.
This says alive unto Sheol. So we have an idea Sheol is down. Alive unto Sheol, then shall you know that these men have despised Yahweh. Now they aren't going to die because it swallows them back up. So Sheol, where is it? It's down. Very simple. That's all we know. Back to the story of the mediator. 41. And all the assembly of the sons of Israel murmured on the morrow against Moses. And so just think about this. It's Moses' fault. Moses' fault. Moses' fault for doing everything. And he's the one who brought you out of Egypt. And so think of the churches, everything else. You know, this is so common that it happened. Against Moses and against Aharon, saying, you have caused the death of the people of Yahweh. Well, who caused the death of these people?
They did.
They rebelled against Yahweh. When they rebelled against Moses, they rebelled against Yahweh.
Yeah.
And it came to pass when the assembly gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aharon, that they turned towards the tent of meeting. There's your thing. The tabernacle, the tent of meetings, that's what it's also called.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what happens? And lo, one thing you didn't have with your tent of meeting over the tabernacle was a cloud.
Yeah, the cloud.
There's a cloud. It was there day and night. And it showed the presence of Yahweh. So you want an idea of what Yahweh looks like? Basically, you got a cloud. That's how he manifests himself. Let's see here. And the cloud had covered it, and the glory of Yahweh appeared. And Moses and Aharon came in before the tent of meeting. Then spake Yahweh unto Moses, saying, lift yourself up out of the midst of this assembly, that I may consume them as in a moment. Well, this is the second time he's doing this. And they fell upon their faces. Here's their mediation. Then said Moses unto Aharon, take the censer, and place her in fire from off the altar, and put incense, and going quickly into the assembly, put a propitiatory covering over them. Here's a really good thing, too. You see, where does the fire have to come from for your incense?
Yahweh.
From the altar. Who started the original fire?
Yahweh.
Yahweh. And those coals were kept going for 100 years, or whatever it had to be. And you had to take the coals from the fire, so Aharon's sons did not take the coals from the fire.
Yeah, strange fire.
Yeah, strange fire, and they put incense in, and Yahweh brought down fire upon it. But that shows you here, he said, take it from the altar and put incense and go quickly. And incense represents prayer, which is very important. The altar of incense in Hebrews looks like it's inside the Holy of Holies. And actually they classified it as being part of the Holy of Holies. The only thing is difference is there's a curtain in front of the altar of incense in front of the Ark of the Covenant. So remove that ark and there's the incense. So that's the prayers of the saints.
Remove the covering, the ark, remove the curtain.
But if you look at Hebrews, it puts the altar of incense actually in the Holy of Holies. It's not, because there's a curtain, but it's in front where everything else is on the side. You have the table of showbread, and then you have the lamps, you know, the lampstands that were going. So you have this altar, this incense, which are the prayers. And that's what they're doing is by the prayers that are coming up. But that's a good thing to keep in mind on your position, how important our prayers are. Let's see here. And put a propitiatory covering over them, for wrath hath gone forth from before Yahweh, the plague hath begun. Then took Aharon and Moses spake, and ran into the midst of the convocation, and lo, the plague had begun among the people. So he placed the incense and put a propitiatory covering over the people. And this really is Christ. So always keep thinking of Christ as the ultimate mediator, is saving us by putting a propitiatory covering.
You don't know what propitiatory means.
Covering. Okay. Propitiatory means favorable. Okay. So, the Ark of the Covenant, which is very important, what was inside it basically? There's only one item at the end. What were those? That was this.
The Tanakh.
The Word of Yahweh. And so people think today if we found the Ark of the Covenant, that would be such great, great treasure. Well, the box wasn't holy.
Yeah.
It was what was in the box. Mm-hmm. And what was in the box? The Word of Yahweh. And we have it right in front of us, and people don't even read it. Mm-hmm. So this is the Ark of the Covenant. I mean, not the Ark, but this is the Covenant. Mm-hmm. And the Covenant was the commandments of the agreement that you do your part, I do my part. So just think of the bounty. And the Rotham is one of the best English translations in the world. Obviously, the Hebrew would be the best. But just think of that. And we've got our mind so much on things and searching for the Ark of the Covenant. Like there's, and we have it right in front of us. It's in our house. Let's see here. I digress. Okay. In 48... Thus did he take his stand between the dead and the living, and the plague was restrained. And so it was that they who died in the plague were 14,000. So you got to understand, this is wickedness through satanic influence. And so that's another thing altogether. But 14,000 people died because they rebelled against Yahweh. Because what it ended up doing is opening up an avenue for a plague of some kind. And 14,700 besides them who died over the matter of Korah. And Aharon returned unto Moses unto the entrance of the tent of meeting where the plague had been restrained. So by their actions they saved millions of people. Now we go to 25 of Numbers. Moses still in effect. Mediation. 25:1. We're going to go 1-13. And Israel remained among the Acadias.
Acacias.
Acacias, And the people began to go away unchastely unto the daughters of Moab. Remember Balaam. This is after Balaam. Who invited the people unto the sacrifice of their gods. So the people did eat and did bow themselves down unto their Elohims. Thus Israel let himself be bound unto Baal Peor. And the anger of Yahweh kindled unto Israel. And what does Baal mean?
Lord.
Lord. And so a husband is a Baal. And it could be a master. And also we know in this context we're talking about a god. But it's still Lord. And the anger of Yahweh kindled upon Israel. Yahweh said unto Moses, Take all the heads of the people and crucify them unto Yahweh in the face of the sun, that the heat of the anger of Yahweh may turn away from Israel. Now these are tough places. And Moses said unto the judges of Israel, slay each one his men who have let themselves be bound unto Baal Peor. And he stole the mediator. And lo, a man of the sons of Israel coming in who brought near unto his brethren a Midianite woman. Remember who did Moses go live with?
The Midianites. Paul was a priest.
Before the eyes of Moses and before the eyes of all. Now look at this arrogance, this haughtiness. Remember, Yahweh against the haughty arrayeth himself. The eyes of all the assemblies of the sons of Israel when they were weeping at the entrance of the tent of meeting. And Phinehas, son of Eleazar, son of Aharon, the priest, saw it. So he rose up out of the midst of the assembly and took a spear in his hand. And we've got to do this. And when we see wickedness, we've got to go confront it.
How come Moses could marry a Midianite but not this guy?
No. Okay, but this is sexual.
Oh, okay.
This is sexual fornication.
It's a perversion.
I mean, the perversion.
Not just fornication.
I mean, it's a demonic situation that they're doing.
If you read at the bottom, too.
Yeah, this is not marrying. This has nothing to do with marrying. They're going to have sexual intercourse in front of everybody in a tent.
To explain what it is.
Yeah. And went in after the man of Israel into the pleasure tent. That's what it's called. And thrust both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman, in her parts of shame. Right? So the plague was restrained. That pleased Yahweh. Yeah. And so we're in a particular stage right now where we've got love, 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 and love doesn't do anything. Love doesn't go to war. Love doesn't defend their family. Love doesn't put people to death because it's love. And that's not love what Yahweh's talking about. That's not Ahab. Because Ahab is obeying what Yahweh says to do. From against the sons of Israel, then was it found that they who had died by the plague were 24,000. 24,000. And so this is always a separation of what's happening today to the church and to the people who left the church. It's the same going to the pleasure tent. That's a Democratic Party. Homosexuality, everything else. Is abortion, everything else is a pleasure tent. Then spake Yahweh unto Moses, saying, Phinehas, son of Eleazar, son of Aharon the priest, had turned back my wrath from against the sons of Israel, and that he was jealous with my jealousy in their midst. That's what we got to be. We got to be jealous with Yahweh's jealousy in their midst. So that, you know, so if somebody's in a homosexuality, we don't keep silent. You know, you don't say, whoa, I don't want to, we'll just accept it, or I'll just stay away from them. And we confront that, try to deliver them if it's a brother in Christ, or if not a brother. I give them information on that. Or they're committing adultery, so that I may not make in their midst, so that I may not an end of the sons of Israel and my jealousy. So Phinehas stopped it all. Wherefore say, behold me, giving unto him my covenant of peace, so it shall be proved me upon him and unto his seed after him, the covenant of our age-abiding priesthood. Because he was jealous for his Elohim, and did put a propitiatory covering over the sons of Israel. I forgot, there's a propitiatory covering. I didn't answer that. So you have the Ark of the Covenant. I got into what was inside it. The top was called the propitiatory covering. They call it the mercy seat. It had nothing to do with mercy. Mm-hmm. It had nothing to do with seat. So the King James will say the mercy seat. Mm-hmm. Yahweh was above it. Propitiatory, I think it's kafar, means pleasing. And so one thing you have to have with sin, you have to have expiation, which I pay for the sin, and that's what the animal sacrifices were. I'm going to pay for the sin, which results in a pleasing, which is results in propitiatory covering. Now it's pleasing, which it results in reconciliation. So always think of expiation, propitiation, reconciliation. So it's one process, which we're going to see it many times. Something has to be paid to cover up that sin. And so Christ was our propitiatory covering. Mm-hmm. Once and once for all. Otherwise, you had to do it every year. And whenever you sin, you had to bring your animals and everything else in there. But there's a petition. But he put a propitiatory covering over the sons of Israel instead of them being wiped out. He did that. That's Phineas as a mediator. That's also, we don't have time to read it, but if you go to Psalms 106, 28 to 31, it talks about Phineas. So he is renowned for this one act. How are we doing? Okay, now we go to David. And that is 2 Samuel in chapter 24, page 348. Mediation. And so remember, David is the Christ line, is our thinking of Christ as a mediator. So David's going to be do a mediation also. And but one thing we're going to learn about, some things aren't as they appear. So do we completely understand it? No. But we many times say what it's not. And so the numbering of Israel, people will say was David's sin. And he shouldn't have done it. Well, if David, it was his sin, then his family should have died, mm-hmm. and not the Israelites. Mm-hmm. It was just the opposite. So that's one thing. And when he does the offering, he does not do a sin offering. We're going to see this. He ends up on Mount Moriah. We're going to see this on Ornan's threshing floor, which is where the temple is built. And so it's a very... How's all of this fit together? I don't quite sure, but it's not as it appears. So, but that's another story. 24:1, and again was the anger of Yahweh kindled against Israel, so that he suffered David to be moved against him, saying, go count Israel and Judah. So you're like, okay, this is strange. But it was against Israel. Now we go to 2 Chronicles, or 1 Chronicles 21, sorry. So you got Samuel, Kings, Chronicles.
Or 29.
And remember, when Yahweh mentions David, he says one thing he did wrong. What was that?
The wife of Uriah the Hittite.
Yeah, Uriah the Hittite, which obviously is Uriah and the adultery. But he never mentions the number.
He says Uriah, the murder of Uriah.
Yeah, but he never mentions the numbering of Israel. And so we automatically put that as David as the numbering of Israel, because a lot of people are going to die here. But you have to say, well, that's absent, this is absent. You know, a lot of things just don't mix up. You know, but we go to 21, verse 1 through 19. I don't think we have time for that. Let's see here. I'll do an abbreviated version. Remember, when we just read 24 of 1 Samuel, it says Yahweh was coming against Israel, right? Yeah. Now this is going to say, then the accuser, which is the footnote A, is what?
Adversary.
No, what's the word? Right down below. Wait a minute here. Look at the end of the note. Hebrew is?
Satan.
Satan.
Yeah.
So that's what Satan means, is adversary. It's not necessarily the Satan that we're talking about. Then the accuser stood up against Israel and moved David to number David to number Israel. So we know this story. And so let's go down to, you know, Gad. Yahweh sent Gad to him and said, okay, choose. Verse 11, so Gad said unto David and said unto him, thus saith Yahweh, choose thee whether for 3 years there be famine, or for 3 months thou flee before thine adversaries, while the sword of thy enemies overtake thee. Now, if David did this, this should all be about his family.
Like
him.
Achan. It'd be like Achan.
It'd be like Achan. I never thought about it. Or Korath. You know, they're the ones responsible. So it doesn't jive with the rest.
Yeah.
And, or for 3 days the sword of Yahweh and pestilence be in the land with the messenger of Yahweh, laying waste throughout all the boundaries of Israel. Now therefore see what answer I shall return unto him that sent me. And David, remember, David was a prophet. So sometimes Yahweh's going to tell somebody else to tell you something. So they're both prophets. Why aren't you just talking right to him? And same way with Nathan. So David had Nathan and Gad and Iddo. I don't know if Iddo was there or not. Maybe it was someplace else. But there was three of them. But David's a prophet also. And Yahweh communicated him all the time. He would say, should I go up? Yes, go up. Mm-hmm. And so he's getting revelation. So in our own lives, remember, a family member can come up and it's the word of Yahweh that's coming to you. And you can say, well, why did I have that information? You know, I'm superior to you or whatever, in knowledge or whatever. But that's a good point. And 13, and David said unto Gad, I am in a great strait, or let me fall, I pray thee, into the hand of Yahweh, for abounding are his raham. Raham, not compassion. Now compassion, remember, means what?
Suffering.
Suffer with. So calm means with, and passion means suffer. Very good though. Suffer with. Raham doesn't mean that. But bounty are his is like a hased. Raham is a family word. It can also mean as a baby in a womb.
A father and a son.
It is raham. So it's a very family oriented word. Compassion, to suffer with somebody, doesn't help anybody. All right, so why don't you just fix them? You know, I don't want you to suffer. Now, if somebody died, and you can have compassion, like with your father, we have compassion, we suffer with you, but there's nothing we can do about that. Mm-hmm. So that's fine, that is compassion. But that's not what this raham means. Mm-hmm. So we do demonstrate compassion in our lives, but it's something that we can't do anything about. And so Yahweh laid pestilence upon Israel, and there fell of Israel 70,000 men. Yeah, wow. Now, Numbers is just full of this stuff, the book of Numbers. Well, this is Chronicles. Let me see. 70,000 men, and Elohim sent a messenger to Jerusalem to lay it waste. But as he was laying it waste, Yahweh looked and relented concerning the calamity, or that would be evil. Remember, every time you see calamity, it's Ra, which is evil. And said unto the messenger who was laying waste, enough, now stay thy hand. Now this one becomes in the very eye-opening situation. And the messenger of Yahweh was standing by the threshing floor of Onan, the Jebusite. And when David lifted up his eyes and saw the messenger of Yahweh standing between the earth and the heavens, this has got to be humbling, with his sword drawn. Are you going to get on the ground? Better. And his hand stretched out over Jerusalem. Then fell David, and here's the mediation. Then fell David and the elders clothed in sackcloth upon their faces. And David said unto Elohim, was it not I who gave word to number the people? Yea, I it was who sinned and did the great wrong that then thou hast then that had these sheep done. O Yahweh my Elohim, let thy hand I beseech thee be against me and against the house of my father, but not against thy people, that they should be plagued. And the messenger of Yahweh commanded Gad to say unto David. What's interesting, the messenger doesn't talk to David. He talks to Gad. Huh. And David should go up to rear altar unto Yahweh in the threshing floor of Onan the Jebusite. Now remember, this is Christ. Now, Christ is the seed of David, and the temple site is the same where Christ is going to build a temple site. This is Yahweh's habitation from now on, for eternity. So, David went up according to the word of Gad, which he spake in the name of Yahweh. And Ornan turned... We'll stop there. We'll go down. We don't see what Ornan did. Go to 26. And David built there an altar unto Yahweh and caused it to go up. Watch. A sin offering? No.
Mm-mm. No.
It's an ascending offering. Sacrifice and peace offerings. And called unto Yahweh, and he responded to him. Now this is great. And called unto Yahweh, and look what Yahweh does. Responded to him by what?
Fire.
Fire out of heaven. This is the new place. Because I started Moses' fire.
Yeah.
All right, now I'm starting this fire.
Yeah.
And when you look at Solomon, when he does the temple, and his temple, that also is started by Yahweh's fire. So that's showing you everything's all right. the fire of the heaven. And Yahweh gave word to the messenger, and he put back his sword into his sheath. At that time, when David saw that Yahweh had answered him in the threshing floor of Onan, the Jebusite, then he sacrificed there. But the habitation of Yahweh, which Moses made in the desert, and the altar of ascending sacrifice were at that time in the high place at Gibeon, which is about 6.5 miles away. What's interesting about Gibeon, that's the people who said that they were way strangers, and they tricked Joshua. Remember that in the wilderness?
Yeah.
And Joshua made a covenant with them, but they actually deceived him. And it's also the place where I think five kings came after him, after Gideonites, and hell from the sky came down and killed him.
Yeah,
so this is really great. So this is Gideon. It's been there for ever since Joshua. We're talking about 400 years probably up to now. At least something like that. So it's in Gibeon, and now it's being transferred into Jerusalem. And David could not go before to seek Elohim, for he had been terrified because of the sword of the messenger of Yahweh. Then said, he didn't start the chapter yet. Everybody else starts chapter 22. Mm-hmm. He's going to incorporate it in 21. Then said David, this is the house of Yahweh Elohim, and this is the altar of ascending sacrifice for Israel. Isn't that great? So you have to say, what's that all about? I'm not sure. But we can pray about it. We go to 2 Chronicles 3:1. And this is Solomon saying the same thing. Then began Solomon to build the house of Yahweh in Jerusalem in Mount Moriah, where he had appeared unto David his father, in the place which David had prepared, and the threshing floor of Onan the Jebusite. So David prepared everything, and Solomon's going to put it together. Now we go to 7:1. The 2 Chronicles. Here we go again. Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, what happened?
Fire
came down out of the heavens and consumed the ascending offering and the sacrifice, and the glory of Yahweh filled the house. Mm. Isn't that wonderful? I don't think we're going to have time to go to Christ. But we know that He is a mediator. There's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ, Yahushua, which is 1 Timothy 2:5-6. High priests were also mediators of sin between, they were the barrier between you and Yahweh, the high priest. And so he was our chief high priest. Mm-hmm. And a high priest that never died. Now our job can be very simple. Because we have to say, well, what does this do about me? Well, we've got to be in the same capacity as being a mediator between, many times, our children or our family members or other people to Yahweh. And one of the ways is in 1 Timothy 2:1, page 214, and we'll end. Here's an example, so we can always be looking for...
What chapter?
Chapter 2.
What page?
214. Yeah, we don't have time for that. I'm going to go to, let's go to 5, 1 Timothy, let me see, 5, 19, let's see, I'm in here too. No, don't want, we don't have time for that. 5:19-20. Here's one example. Remember, the book of Timothy was written to, what was his position, Timothy? What was his gift?
Teacher.
He was a prophet. He was a man of Elohim. So remember, he's called a man of God. The only people who are called men of Elohim are prophets. And never calls him a prophet. He called him an evangelist, but we laid our hands on him, so he was a prophet. So remember, these are the book, two instructions for prophets, but we can actually learn from it and imitate. 19, against an elder entertain not an accusation except at the mouth of two or three witnesses, in verse 20, but them who are sinning before all, do what?
Reprove.
Do thou reprove. That the rest also may have what?
Fear.
I mean, very simply, so we have to say, in our lives, are we doing such a thing? Now we go to 2 Timothy. Most of the time we want to be in peace. And and want people to like us. I adjure thee before Yahweh and Christ Yahushua, who is about to be judging living and dead, both as to his foreshining his kingdom, proclaim the word, take thy position in season, out of season, convince, rebuke, encourage with all longsuffering and teaching. For there will be a season when the healthful teachings they will not endure, but according to their own covetings will unto themselves heap up teachers, because they have an itching ear, and from the truth indeed their ear will they turn away. While unto stories they will turn themselves aside. Remember the other night we had just about people being in heaven. That's exactly what this is. You know, about three gods, same situation. It's all what people want to hear. But thou be sober in all things, suffer hardship to do the work of an evangelist, thy ministry completely fulfilled. For I already am poured out as a drink offering, and the season of my release is at hand. The noble contest have I contested, the race have I finished, the faith have I kept, and we should always be striving for this. Henceforth, lie by for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord will render unto me in that day, the righteous judge, yet not alone unto me, but unto all them who have loved his foreshining. Very important. And we go to one last place. I thought that was going to be the last place. Go back to 1 Timothy 2. Verse 1. This is work of mediators. I exhort therefore, first of all, that there be made supplication, prayers, intercession, thanksgiving, in behalf of all men. So that's our job as a mediator. In behalf of kings and all them who are in intimate station, in order that an undisturbed and quiet life we may lead in all godliness and gravity. This is comely and acceptable before our Savior Yahweh, who will all men to be saved and unto a personal knowledge of truth to come. For there is one Elohim, one mediator also between Elohim and men, a man, Christ Yahushua, who gave himself a ransom in the behalf of all. That was the expiation. The expiation is, you know, I killed somebody, what I need to do to expiate it? I need to die. Mm-hmm. And then, once that's been done, then it becomes a propitiatory covering. Now it's pleasing.
And that's what Christ did for us.
Yeah, so he gave himself a ransom, and he passed all this, the testimony in its own fit time, unto which I have been appointed, proclaimer and apostle. Truth I speak, I utter no falsehood, a teacher of nations in faith and truth. That's what we end up doing.
That's what we need to do.
That's right. Our deal. But look at the great people went before us. And like one person said, very simply, we all have holy ruach. We all been called to the body. It, many times it's just our lack of confidence or our lack of apathy. I don't really care.
Your abundance of apathy in your life.
Well, it could be, you know, so whatever it's doing where I'm not clicking in the capacity, where, because does Christ and Yahweh need actors?
Yes,
he does. This is a huge stage. You need a lot of actors. So we must each day is to say, what can I do for you? Now you die for me, I'll live for you. That's what our covenant should be. Now I have a word of prophecy for the people. Ah, Father, we thank you so much for your word, which is the Ark of the Covenant, which is the Debir, the Oracle of Yahweh. So this is the Oracle of Yahweh. So we thank you for these words because of the Holy Ruach that Yahushua poured out upon us, that he died for us, that made us holy. Otherwise, we'd never be holy enough to receive Holy Ruach. So we thank you, Christ, for paying that price for us, that we can hear from our Father and speak for our Father. Begin each day in a meditative mind, in a mind that is surrendered to me, that you are my sons and my daughters, and who I will activate. I will activate your lives in this dark and perverse generation, that you may shine as great lights, that you may go ahead and deliver the people in the darkness, that you may rebuke the darkness, and you will stand firm where the darkness will be repelled by you. So stand firm and stand strong and be meditating upon my words, injecting it into your body, feeding it upon it. The more you do so, the more effective you will be with me. Amen. See you later.
Hallelujah.